Thank you. All right, good to see everyone. I'm just going to move this. I do have one announcement for those of you who are members of the ROC. The announcement is Pastor Wellington is back on the saddle, so to speak, okay? Not a literal saddle, you know, but he's back on the pastoral staff. He'll take care of the small groups, and he'll be part of the presiding and also preaching. So it's good to see him back. And for the special occasion, he got a haircut. Oh, what an exciting time. I'm not one to keep track of all the texts that's been going back and forth, but there's been a series of texts with our friend Shin Kim. So if you want to be lazy and you want to find out about revivals all around the world, you don't actually have to Google. You just text Shin, what's going on? And not only does he know what's going on, he'll actually have visited. And so on this week, he had come to my house to drop off this oil. And so there's a story about this oil and the revival in northern Georgia. And so basically, I don't want to spend too much time. You could find out on the internet. But the basic thing is God is moving in an unusually powerful way with very humble people. And so in this city of our town of Dawsonville, there is the water people where the baptismal water is so anointed that people come in and get baptized, not as a sacrament or ordinance, but as a way of encountering Jesus. And in fact, our friend Shin Kim shows up on the video, 37 minutes and 24 seconds, something like that. And he had told me what had happened, and in the water, he just felt the shalom of God come, like something he's never experienced before, the deep peace of God. And then he saw fire in the man's eyes who asked, what do you want? And it was such a powerful experience. Later on, he recognized that he saw Jesus. And he said the man was like a prop. Jesus can appear. Yahweh can speak through a burning bush. Angel, who is the Lord? In the Old Testament, God can show up as an angel. And so there are times where Jesus will show up through a person. And so as he's sharing about these things, our hearts, those on the email, the text thread, are just being stirred because this is what we've been praying for. This is what we've been longing for here at our church and for this area. We've been praying for this because what the world needs, what we need, is more of God's presence. And so everything kind of came to a head this week for me. I was at a dinner Tuesday night for what's called Baptist World Alliance. It's a gathering, yearly gathering of Baptists all around. I'm not a Baptist, but I work at a seminary where I'm the academic dean of a Baptist seminary. So they invited me to sit at a table to listen to the speakers and get to know people. And so I had my brochures. Our president, new president, brought some literature for the school. And I sat down, and I wasn't thinking of a spiritual encounter. I was just there for a nice meal and to say hello. And then this woman comes up to share. She says, I'm from Syria. I want to let you know that what's happening in Syria. And she said, for a long time, when the missionaries were serving in Syria, American missionaries, they would do everything covertly because they didn't want to get themselves in trouble or the Syrians in trouble. So they hid what they did. They did very quietly. But then when the Syrian war began, they all got kicked out. So she and her husband decided to do ministry. And they decided from day one that they are willing to die. They would not do things covertly. They would do everything out in the open. And if they get killed, they get killed. God's in control. So they decided, we want to show the Jesus movie. This is a movie that's been shown all around the world, made by CCC. And they wanted to show, not in some remote village, someplace hidden. They wanted to show it downtown Damascus. Rent out the largest movie theater. And so the man, the pastor, decided, you know what? If I'm going to do everything in the open, the secret police should know about it. So he walks to the secret police and tells the secret police, I'm going to be showing a movie called Jesus in Damascus. There might be some crazy fanatics that might hurt me. Can you come and protect me? Wisdom. So the movie was shown to 7,000 Syrians. Many came to the Lord. Bibles were handed out, and the secret police were there to protect him. A little bit later, the man and the wife got inspired to make a movie. Syria has gotten such bad press. They wanted to convey how important Syria is to God. And in the Bible, there aren't many cities mentioned, but Damascus is mentioned, because that's where Saul is from. Saul of Damascus. The first church where people were called Christians was in Antioch, Syria. Syria is very important. And even a street in Damascus is named. It's called Straight Street. And so they wanted to make a Christian movie about how God loves Syria and Damascus. But in order to make this movie, they needed actors, but they didn't have any money. So they approached well-known Christian actors in Syria, and none of them were willing to do the movie because they weren't being paid. They weren't going to get paid. So the pastor and his wife thought, you know what? Let's ask the Muslim actors to see if they would do it for free. We'll explain the movie. And they approached the actors, and 190 Muslim actors made a Christian movie for free in 10 days. This movie was sent to Bashar Assad, the dictator, the president of Syria. I said, we want to show this movie. Can you take a preview of this? He eventually saw it. He loved it. And he said, we're going to premiere this at the Opera House in Damascus. And I'm going to invite all the international contingent. So the invitation went out to the embassies like Iraq, Saudi Arabia. 1,350 people showed up. Some of the people who are members of the church suffered because of the war. They got displaced. The families were killed. And so many of them ended up in Sweden. While in Sweden, the members of her church, the man's church, they planted 6 churches in Sweden. The refugees started 6 churches in Sweden. As I'm sitting there, she said a thing that really stirred me. She said, you know, what we really wanted wasn't programs or evangelism or even money. What we wanted was for the glory of God to come back to the church. The glory of God, the presence of God to come back. And she said, it's difficult. It's dangerous. One time my husband got shot at by a sniper and the bullet dropped right before it hit him in the face. It dropped right to the ground. They all saw it. She joked. She said, well, it was a Russian bullet. It expired, you know. And I'm listening to this. I say, that's why we need God's presence. We need God's presence in Damascus. We need God's presence in northern Georgia. We need God's presence in Korea, in China, in Iran, in Brazil, in Germany, in Sweden, in Thailand. You name it, we need God's presence. So the question is, where does the presence of God come? Where does he come? He comes to his house. He comes to the church. He comes to a church that's hungry for his presence. God will not come if people don't want him. Why would God pour out his precious presence upon a people who are indifferent to him? God doesn't come on famous people or wealthy people. God comes to a hungry people. And so we've been praying for God's presence for our church and this area. Because where God's presence is, where his glory is, there is true transformation, there's encounter, there's salvation, there's joy, there's healing, there's freedom, there's deliverance. So the church is the place, the people of God is the place that God loves to come down first. And so he comes to the church first, and then he overflows. This oil is from a church in Dalton, Georgia. My friend Shinsa, John, it's like, you know, the boonies. Most of Georgia is boonie, but yeah, I love listening to Shin because he'll talk about spiritual thing and then he'll switch gears and talk about food. Like, but we have to go to Duluth. Korean food there is awesome. And so I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. There's no sacred secular divide in Shin. You know, good food and Holy Spirit, that's me. All right. So this oil is from this small town. And the church members, I sent you a link. In January 27, 2017, a man named Jerry noticed that there was a wet spot in his Bible on Psalm 39. And so he asked this wife, did one of our great-granddaughters pour something? And she said, Joyce said to her husband, Jerry, I haven't given the baby anything to drink. But then they noticed eventually that the oil began to seep through the Bible and it stopped at Psalm 63. If you have time, read those two Psalms. And then eventually it seeped through the back into the map and concordance and eventually all the way through Revelation to the back and eventually through Genesis and it started to leak oil. So they took the Bible, put it in a gallon Ziploc bag and took it to the pastor and the Lord began to speak to them about the oil. Don't sell it, don't market it, but give it away. And so this is one of now about 200,000 vials of oil that's been traveling all around the world for healing, miracles in the marketplace, workplace, streets, hospitals. I mean, I got it, it doesn't smell, it's clear. I'm not tempted to drink it or anything. This oil is material. You can see it. And if you know your Bible, the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Now, for a Protestant, this is a little weird. For Catholics, we would know, like relics, you know. But Catholics understand that certain items can be anointed by God. That's in the Bible, by the way, Acts 19, 11, and 12. God did extraordinary things through the Apostle Paul. Even handkerchiefs and aprons that he had touched, they would put it on the sick and they would get healed and the demons will be driven out. Right? So God chooses sometimes to anoint, empower a material thing to release his presence and power. Even my voice, okay, on a Sunday morning, if all things work out, you, the listener, will hear not just my voice, but you will be stirred by God's Spirit. How does that work? Well, it's not the inherent nature of my voice. There's nothing in my voice that has supernatural power. But it's whatever God wants to imbue and touch and bless, and then his Spirit releases grace and power upon you. So whether it's music, voice, laying on of hands, reading the Bible, it's whatever God chooses to touch you with. So this oil, we will anoint everyone who wants to get prayer today with this. We'll pray for those who are sick, both emotionally and physically, spiritually. We'll pray for the young, but we'll make it voluntary. Because this oil won't be good without your faith. It's remarkable. Jesus was the Son of God, anointed by the Holy Spirit, but most of the people hearing his message did not respond to him. How in the world can that be? Well, unbelief is a powerful thing. And so, when we do pray, we want people who are hungry enough, have faith enough. You don't need a mountain-sized faith. You just need a faith size of a mustard seed. And just the thought, if I could just get anointed today, I'm going to be healed, Jesus. That's enough to release supernatural power. Now, I loved giving backgrounds. I'm not going to go too long. Being a dean and spending so much of my own money in graduate school, in Korean, akwa. It seems like a waste. I can't just tell a simple sermon and not do some Bible and theology. It feels like I just betrayed my education. All right. So I'm going to go to the heart and say, if you have your Bibles, again, I'm going to just go for about five to seven more minutes. But we want a biblical background. Okay. You could all follow the narrative of what I just shared, but what we want a biblical background. Always crave a biblical theological framework. Because unless you have that, you are prone or open to, weird things, even false teaching. So, the passage I want us to look at very briefly is Luke 3, 15 to 18. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. So, background, John the Baptist, okay? John the Baptist, before Jesus came, there's this crazy prophet named John the Baptist. But before John the Baptist, there was 400 years of complete silence. Okay? 400 years, much like 400 years in slavery for Israel, there was a 400 years between what's called during the intertestamental time, between the closing of the Old Testament to the beginning of Jesus' movement. 400 years. So when John the Baptist arrives, starts preaching, people felt like he must be the Messiah. Okay? He must be the one who we've been waiting for. And that's why they're wondering. John answered them, No. I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. So John knew completely he's not the Messiah. He's the voice crying out in the wilderness. He's the one who's preparing the way for the Messiah. And so when people are coming up, are you the Messiah? No, he says, I baptize you with water. Baptizo means dip or immerse. And in Jewish culture and ancient cultures, there were a lot of religious ceremonies of washing, because dirt, blood, whatever. I mean, that's easy to understand. You're filled with sin. So John preached a repentance baptism for the forgiveness of sins in preparation for their true baptism. And that's why John says, no, I'm baptizing with water. I'm getting your life straight so that when the true baptizer comes, the Messiah, the anointed one comes, he will baptize you not with water, but with the Holy Spirit and fire. These are signs of the presence of God, this Holy Spirit. Interesting enough, he says fire. In the large framework, our baptism in the Spirit prepares us for judgment. That's what the fire here is. Those who are baptized, those who have the presence of God, will be saved. Those who aren't are in jeopardy. So that's the fire language, and that fire language is backed up about this imagery of chaff and threshing floor who will separate out. So in the big biblical picture, the big picture, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just for our good experience. It's not just, ooh, I feel good. I am healed. Even that's good. No. The big picture is that you are saved. You are marked for heaven. That's why you're baptized. That's the big, big picture. But the medium-sized small-sized picture is when you are baptized. And every believer that comes to meet Jesus, they are initially baptized with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes in. Okay? Every true believer has been dipped or imbued by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God comes in. So you're baptized. But then in the Bible, you are baptized numerous times to be filled with the Spirit. Just like we shower almost every day. I try to. We need baptisms. And it's a baptism not of salvation, but of empowerment. Baptism of divine commission. Baptism of power. And when people get baptized, their life changes. There's a deeper encounter with God. There's a revelation. There is an aha moment. There's a closeness. There's a sensitivity. Basically, you come more alive. That is the baptism of believers in the Holy Spirit. Not that you get saved again and again. That doesn't make any sense. You are saved. You are son and daughter. For our walks as sons and daughters can become dull, indifferent, tired, weak. And if we are tired and weak, we are powerless to effect change out in the world. And so God says, I'm going to baptize you again and again because the world is in my view. I need to reach the world with the good news of my son, Jesus Christ. Okay. So Jesus comes baptizing. Okay. And baptism, water is the symbol. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit as well. And in the ancient world, in ancient thought, various kinds of anointing oil were believed to penetrate deep into the body and impart strength, health, beauty, and even joy. The whole craze about essential oil, that's an ancient tradition. The oil goes through your skin, into your blood vessels, and all that. That is ancient. Okay? And so in the Old Testament, New Testament, you have that. And there are two words for anointing. Okay, I'm almost done. Aleppo is anointing. And this is the physical act of anointing. And this occurs 8 times. 4 times in the Gospel, 1 time in James. It's the physical act of anointing performed on people, especially on sick people. So in James 4:5-14, we're told, if you're sick, get the elders together, anoint that person. Aleppo. Physically anoint that person. Okay? And it's reminding people of that ancient practice. It's medicinal, but it's also associated with exorcism, deliverance. Anoint the people, and they will be free from demons. The second word is krio, and it's always used figuratively. The first word is used literally, physical act. Krio, where we get the word charisma. Okay, is used exclusively in a figurative sense. And it's a picture, metaphor, for what? The bestowal of the Holy Spirit. Okay. And so, the very name Jesus, the Messiah. Messiah is the anointed one. His core identity is the one who brings the Holy Spirit. And that's why John the Baptist isolates that. He says, when he comes, he will baptize you or anoint you with the Spirit. The great news of Jesus Christ is that he releases the Spirit of life through his death and resurrection. He dies, he rises from the dead, and in Acts 2, he pours out his Spirit. If he were to just die and rise again from the dead and just did that, then we in this life will still struggle with sin, still struggle with powerlessness, still struggle with the devil, still struggle with our brokenness. So he releases the Holy Spirit so that the life that was in Christ is in us. Okay? And so that's what the Lord wants to do again and again. Baptize us. Anoint us. And so I think we need to understand this is all about Jesus. Okay? This whole revival thing, North Georgia thing, we can so easily get distracted by the phenomenon. Okay? And when God moves, strange things happen. And that should be expected. When God shows up in power, you think people are just going, oh, there is Jesus. ministries. No, when people get healed, when people get delivered, when something deep, something dark is being addressed by the living God, things happen and people will manifest, show their reaction. Not all the time. So when people fall down to the floor, that's normal. If I get sick and do surgery, I like to be lying down. I don't want to just stand up and people, I want to lie down. I want to lie down and I want to be out of it. I don't want to feel the pain. And so when people, and I'm telling you this, some of you would be on the floor today. Do not try to get up. Okay? We'll pray for you, and some of you will fall down. That's not necessarily mean you're more spiritual, but the Lord wants to do something deep, and when He does something deep, He wants you to receive. He wants you to be actually passive. Okay? And so some of you, when we pray, you will fall down, lie down, relax. We got some covers here, you know. Just relax. Just keep your mind on Jesus. He knows our life. He knows our thoughts. He knows our fears. Let the Spirit of God minister to you. All that you might know later is you get up and you feel light. You feel joyful. You feel at peace. Okay? Others of you, when we pray for you, you're going to feel something else. You're going to feel maybe joyful, giddy. I know we are social beings and we are aware of our social surroundings. This place today is sacred, and it's also a place of security. Okay, this is not a place to be driven by good manners, although we want you to be respectful and have good manners, not be rude and pushy, but in terms of your own emotions before the Lord, if you feel like crying, you are free to cry. If you feel like laughing, you are free to laugh. If you feel like just being silent, you're free. Just go with whatever you feel, according to how the Lord is ministering to you. We're not in a rush. We're here to meet Jesus. Today is one of many Sundays, many days. What we believe, what I believe, what many of our leaders believe, is that this is a significant day. It's not a day that will end anything. It's in many ways, it's, we've been praying. It's not even the very beginning of anything powerful. It's a continuation. It's like dot number 4. And this dot will be connected to the other dots. And I believe that today will mark for many of you a special day. When I talk to Shen, he's had many encounters with the Lord. He's been to Toronto. He's been to Pensacola. I've been with him in both of those occasions. And he said to me, John, I think this is one of the more life-transforming events of my life. And he's a man of prayer. He's a man of the Holy Spirit. And yet the peace that he experienced, he's never experienced that kind of shalom. There's still things in God we have not yet experienced, but it is for you. There are things in heaven that's marked out for you. And it could be the shalom. I believe for many of you, it is shalom. For you and I to know that all is well. God has it all. You don't need to worry, even for your healing. Others of you, you've been living life without joy. A happy day is a day where you're not angry and frustrated and ticked off. That's a good day, but that's not God's day for you. Some of you will be released with divine joy. And you don't have to work it up, but you do need to relax and let it go. Let the joy heal you. Let the joy of the Lord bring healing to your bones. Some of you, you will be moved by the hope of God. You're afraid to look at the future because of all the question marks and the dark clouds and what if I don't have this, what if I don't get this. And so you don't actually like to think about the present, the future. You just want to think about the present. You don't even want to look at ahead of the calendar a week or a month because of what you're afraid will happen. The Lord's going to give you His perspective. When the Holy Spirit comes in some of you, He's going to give you new eyes. And that new eyes will see God in the future. The days will come, but you will see God in those days. And if God is there for you, your thought, your view of your own future is going to radically change. Some of you, you're going to get the best gift ever in your life. The best gift. Now, there are three, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Some of you really get a deposit of God's love for you. This is the single best gift ever. You may know God in your mind. You know that God died, Jesus died for me, except so on and so forth. But the knowledge of God is so different from the experience of God. It's like reading a story, a love story, or some romance novel. You could read about it and maybe vicariously kind of experience a little bit. But that's far different than experiencing love for yourself. And I believe God wants to release love. Now, the Lord's going to do some other things, but those are the things that were highlighted for me, for you. Besides the healing, peace, hope, joy, love. There's going to be other, but these are definitely on the menu today for you. So as you come up, when it's your time, I want you to engage the Lord. And what I've seen is this. The Lord's already engaging you right now. It's not like everything is saved up when you're in line and then I touch you with my finger. And then, and then you go back. No. Some of you are already being ministered to right now. Some of you have already been stirred by the worship. So the Lord doesn't go with our own schedule of when things start and when things end. And many of you will get deeply ministered to after you go through the line. And so after you go through the line, please go back or lie down. Find a place to lie down and keep your thoughts on Jesus. That's it. Enjoy His presence. You don't need to be afraid of God. You don't need to worry about today. And what happens today for almost all of us is going to connect to deeper encounters in the days ahead. Deeper falling in love with Jesus the days ahead. This is an on-ramp to a deeper, more vibrant, joyful, amazing life in God. Okay. So we're going to follow some protocols today. Okay. At our church, we like our little ones. We think they're the cutest kids in all this area, definitely. If you compare our church kids, I think they're the cutest ones. Don't tell the other church pastors, but that is the truth. So we're going to pray for the little ones first, youth, and then the adults. But after the children and youth, we want to spend some time. We don't want to rush this. We want to pray for those who are sick, those who've been struggling with depression and anxiety as well. And so if among the adults, if you've been struggling in that area, physically or emotionally, we want to take time to just soak you. We will have what's called a fire tunnel. Not really a tunnel, nor is it really a fire. I don't know why we call it. But it's basically a line of people who've been anointed and prayed over at least twice, and our pastors. And we want to just bless you. And our objective is to say, Lord, in Jesus' name, release your Holy Spirit. And I'll be at the end of the line to anoint you with this amazing symbol of the Holy Spirit, this oil from Georgia, this oil symbol of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to close my little message in prayer, I'm going to ask our fire tunnel group to come on up. Okay, and once we're set, I'm going to ask the children. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have the fire tunnel like here, and the line will start, you know, start here. But much like waiting at a buffet table, if you all get to the line, then you're going to be bored. So just kind of keep your eyes open. And as the line is going through, you know, you could get in line. And while you're seated, the music's going to go on like this. Okay? So if you're not getting prayer in the line, while you're seated, engage the Lord in prayer. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you already for what you have done. And we pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that you would touch us deeply. Touch us in our areas of pain. Touch us in our areas of sickness. Touch us, Lord, in our thoughts and feelings. Be with us in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.